Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Hey, no complaints over here, Kyle. I'm doing well.
I was going to say, how's that possible? Because the Packers, unfortunately, their record is not looking well. They're now 4-8 after another loss, this time 40-33 at the hands of the Eagles. When was the last time they won? Well, I mean, yeah, they beat the Cowboys. Before that, it's funny. Their last two wins are in overtime. The overtime win against the Patriots at the start of October, then the overtime win against the Cowboys. Those are the last 2 months. That's 2 months, and they've had two wins, essentially, in the last two
Nothing
months.
Comes easy this year, that's for sure.
No. It's just another case of that. And, I mean, frankly, I said it going in. Like, I didn't expect them to beat the Eagles. It's a very similar feeling to the Bills. Like, this is one of the best teams in the league. And the Eagles are, 10-1 now? So probably a pretty strong, deserving 10-1. Like, they really do seem like they're not only one of the strongest run teams, which we definitely saw as the Packers, but just one of the best, great defense and overall one of the best teams. And, Jalen Hurts has developed as a passer this year. So it just this extra dimension. Eagles could be going to the Super Bowl. So it's against the elite teams. I mean, it was a one-score game. That's about as much as you could hope for, though, I think.
Yeah. Just to start off, the Eagles are just a team that I love how they're built. I love how they play. They're strong in the trenches. They run the football, and they got a quarterback that's only going to keep getting better. So hard not to like how they're built. I mean, obviously, I don't like losing, but they got a nice system how they're built over there. It's really impressive.
And they don't make mistakes. Very well coached. The first penalty, do you remember when the Eagles' first penalty of the game was?
It was in the fourth quarter, wasn't it? I know the first half was close.
It was in the third quarter, but basically halfway through the third quarter.
Okay.
So you've gone through almost three quarters of game time. You've gone basically through three quarters of the game before, or not quite three quarters of the game, but two-thirds of the game basically before the Eagles took a penalty. And I mean, the Packers didn't. I mean, I think the Packers had three penalties in the first half, so saw that they were super undisciplined. But the Eagles, very well disciplined team, both in terms of game penalties, but also disciplined with their play. Very well coached. Right.
Yeah, you're well coached, strong in the trenches, and don't make mistakes. That sounds like a winning formula to me. That's for sure.
Does Nick Sirianni get coach of the year consideration?
I think so. Hands down, I think he does. There's some good coaching going on this year, but yeah, it's impressive.
I think one of the things, the narratives the writers could go with, because obviously you're looking at the record, like, you know, again, 10-1, they're the best record in the NFC right now. But is, you know, how responsible is Sirianni for Jalen Hurts' development as a passer and as his, not just his head coach, but as his, the leader of and coordinator of his offense and the creator of his offense? Like, how much do we owe to that? And if the NFL Associated Press writers say a lot, I could see them being with echoing your statement, Jesse, and like, hands down, he's a lock for coach of the year. Cause it's funny. Cause through the first like month and even 2 months of the season, there were maybe some different names. Like, Doug Peterson was being floated around after the Giants hot start, Brian Daboll. Like, you're winning this many games with Daniel Jones. I still think, and I mean, you know what, they've lost two in a row now, but I still think Brian Daboll could also get some consideration. But one name that I hadn't really heard many media people talking about was Sirianni, but it seems like in your mind, Jesse, you think that's actually a very, not just a wild out of the blue answer. You think it's almost the favorite and the strongest answer.
I think so. They were a good team last year. They were the team that I thought was the scariest matchup for us going into the playoffs, but I think they took that next step and going in with a quarterback that there are a lot of doubts. A lot of people thought that that was their weakest link, and to see how he grew, kudos to Hurts. Don't get me wrong. But I think coaching plays a big part of that, and just the chemistry. And that's something that the Packers are missing this year. So maybe I'm a little jealous, but that team believes in what he's selling for sure. I mean, they're confident. They're tough. I tip my hat to him. He's doing a hell of a job.
Because at the end of the day, the Packers just aren't executing. Maybe what you're saying about the belief is true. And as these losses pile up, that belief gets tougher and tougher to stretch. But really, these last two games, I felt the run defense has just been atrocious. And you know what? Maybe not having Devondre Campbell to help clean up those run gaps that's being severely missed right now. But at the same time, it seems like the defensive line has just been basically bullied by opposing offensive lines last 2 weeks, the Titans and then the Eagles, who are two of the strongest running teams in the league. but it also shows if the Packers defense is playing those elite run teams, they don't have an answer for them.
Yeah, and my problem with the Packers, they say it every week, it's a broken record. You at some point, it's you can talk tough and say all the right things, but it matters on the field. At times, I think we go through the motions. And there was times that, you know, Green Bay stuffed them on two short yardage situations. So, but it's not on a consistent level. And, yeah, you can have Campbell back. You can have Ray Lewis playing the linebacker. If you're getting your butt kicked in the trenches and that you're not getting – you're not clean, it's going to be a long day. And, I mean, Kenny Clark – I think he's great. He got his butt kicked this week, and everybody else, at least in the run game, they just got outmanned. And that Philly line is strong. Don't get me wrong. Not taking nothing away from them. They get paid too, but you could tell who wanted it and who was technically just better.
Well, I think specifically Kenny Clark. I mean, these are the assignments we hate for Kenny Clark when they've got an elite center. And I mean, I'm pretty sure Jason Kelsey was the first team All-Pro center last season. And considering how good they're doing this year, I'd imagine that he's probably going to repeat that. So you could make the argument he's the best center in the league. And Clark saw a lot of him, and Jason Kelsey played like he was the best center in the league. So it seemed like he got the better of Clark almost the entire game every time.
Yeah, those Kelsey guys are pretty dang good at football, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think I'm better at podcasting, but maybe I'm biased on that. hopefully our listeners think that too. And if not, we can at least hope to help entertain a little bit. But yeah, you mentioned something about the short yardage, and it's funny. I think it was the third drive of the game. They finally got the stops. And even then it was, okay, they allowed an 8-yard run on first down, but then the Eagles gained 1 yard on the next three run plays on second, third, and fourth down and got a turnover on downs. Did that possession end though with the Aaron Rodgers interception?
Yeah. Gave it right back.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was not capitalizing on the mistakes. But you're right, it's the Green Bay run defense comes alive at certain moments. And I'm looking at something I write for Full Press Coverage every week is the goal line grade and the goal line guide. Sorry, and I give goal line grades to each team. And a lot of this is done for a fantasy football perspective. But one of the important things I look at is just team efficiency, both offensively and defensively inside the 5-yard line. And the Packers have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns inside the 5-yard line, which this season, which to be fair is a lot. It's up there in terms of total number of touchdowns, but teams have also run 26 rushing plays against the Packers inside their own 5-yard line. That's the second most in the entire league. So the percentage is only 31%. How many teams are lower than the Packers? I'm seeing only 4 teams below the Packers, 31%, or sorry, 5 teams. So the Packers' 6th best goal line defense, at least from the in the run game. So they show that they can do it at certain moments, but also when you're defending inside the 5 and you can condense, you can add extra players inside the box. So that's part of also they need that. It seems like they need that extra help inside the box to be effective against the run game. It's not happening because the defensive line is getting push.
Yeah. And it makes sense, right? Green Bay is pretty tough at times against the pass. You know, then they fall apart at other times, but you know, they're ranked pretty high in the league still against the pass. But yeah, just for whatever reason, keep getting worse and worse against the run, and teams don't fear it. And I think a lot goes back to, you know, technique and being right. If you look at the angles that were taken in this game, wow, it looked like some Pop Warner kids out there. You know, I get it. Quay Walker's a rookie, but this is one of the best tacklers in college football last year, and he is just out of position all the time. And Adrian Amos, I don't know what happened there, but same thing. Just this was a technically sound guy last year, probably one of the best safeties technically wise in the league. Not saying he was the best, but this guy was as sound as they came. And this year, man, just he looks lost out there.
Well, and I almost wonder, was Amos just trying to do too much? Is that part of he feels like because he's one of the best safeties, the burden, especially with Darnell Savage going out, did Amos feel like he had to make every play? And if you're doing that, though, you're usually going to make mistakes. So it's unfortunately not to blame it all on Amos, because the team around him is doing so bad. He's going to make extra mistakes because he's trying to do so much.
It could, but he looks really slow. But like you said, maybe he's trying to take on too much. Rudy Ford looks pretty good. I think that kid's a starter next year at safety. I really do. I mean, he's making plays. He's flying around. And then the guys that we expected to be flying around are looking slow. Now, again, is that scheme where they're just putting too much on their plate and they're not playing downhill? Maybe. But, yeah, fundamentally, something is way out of whack. And, again, it goes back to, hey, are they buying into what's being sold to them? I doubt it, because I don't know how Joe Barry was allowed to coach that second half, because I'm telling you.
Jalen Hurts just torched them through the air at all the ground. Anything Jalen Hurts did worked. They had no answer for him. He had 100 rushing yards in the first half. Quarter. Wasn't it the first quarter?
Yeah. What, four runs? He was over 100 yards.
And the thing with the Eagles we've seen this year is they get to big starts and then slow down the second half. And it kind of happened a little bit, but it seemed like it was one of those, okay, you just got to weather this storm. But even then, it seemed like this almost seems hopeless. Like they're not, the Eagles aren't going to slow down the second half because the Packers aren't good enough to stop them and force them to slow down. It did to a certain extent, but yeah, the run defense was brutal. And it's funny talking about, 31% touchdown rate on inside their own goal line, inside their own five. So plays that start inside the 5 yard line or closer to their own goal line. Packers have only allowed 31% of those plays to be touchdowns, at least of the running plays. And again, that's the sixth best rate in the league. So good defense, but then they just played against two of the teams that are better than them. The Eagles have only allowed 20% touchdown rate. And then the Titans at 25%. So two of the better teams, I think the Eagles would be the third best team in the league in that regard. So unfortunately, while the Packers in that area were good, they also matched up against teams that were arguably better than them in that one area where of a strength of theirs.
Yeah, just a bad matchup. I still don't think they had a good game plan coming in against a team like this, but yeah, you're right. It was a bad matchup. This is why Philly scared me last year, because they are tough. They run the football and they don't play outside of what they are. Tennessee's the same way too. As you know, I don't think they're as good as their record is, but they have an identity and they stick with it. And that's one thing Green Bay does not have. That's for sure. So yeah, I'm with you, Kyle. Teams that are better than us and know what they want to do, and they go out there and do it. And Green Bay just looks like there are 11 individuals on that side of the ball right now.
Well, it seems like one big problem that we've talked about the last 2 years with this Joe Barry defense, and it's not just Rashawn Gary, because he didn't play and it was still a problem last night. I guess it's the outside linebackers technically crash to the middle too much and do not contain. And then like how often was Hurts just escaping on either side because the outside linebackers are coming in and trying to cut inside too much. And that's been a problem for the last 2 years. They try too hard to get upfield and not enough focus on the contain. What play was it? It was actually against the Titans. It was the Bengals. They had a defensive lineman basically like kind of almost push some offensive lineman out of the way and to kind of cut off Henry's lane to force him to take it outside and not give him a lane up the middle. The idea of that, it's almost the reverse of the contain aspect, but that interior defensive lineman wasn't making the play to try and tackle Derrick Henry. He didn't try and jump out to get Henry. If he'd done, he wouldn't have been blocking the O-lineman, wouldn't have cleaned things for the other players. But he cleared out the offensive lineman, so the other, I think it was two other Bengals players, came in and tackled Derrick Henry. So the guy making the play wasn't looking to, I have to get the ball carrier down. Like these outside linebackers don't always have to, they don't have to be the one getting the sack. Can they be in a position to force the quarterback to get hit by other players? I think that's, like you're saying, Jesse, they're not playing enough as a team. They're playing too much as individuals. And it seems like that's an area specifically with that pass rush that makes them so vulnerable to, again, 100 rushing yards from a quarterback in a quarter.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, what you talk about with the Bengals, you know, Derrick Henry, you don't want him to go north and south. You want to stretch him out. You know, and if that's your goal to take away those rush lines and get him going laterally, perfect, right? If that's the plan. But when you leave lanes like the Packers are coming up field that are, you know, as big to drive a truck through, that's not going to work either. So, and that's what it is, exactly what you're saying. Instead of, you know, trying to play under control, I guess is the right thing, instead of, you know, flying around the corner just to try to get the sack. I mean, the Eagles will take that all day long. Their tackles will ride you out wide and say good luck trying to stop this guy who's, you know, as big as a linebacker running the football. So it works out pretty good for them.
All right, so now we go from bad to worse. So we've known Aaron Rodgers has had a broken thumb. He's talked about it. He suffered it at the end of the London game. So honestly, probably not coincidentally, that's when the 5-game losing streak started, was against the Giants there. And they were doing so well in the first half, and it just kind of came apart at the end. I think we know that why. It's because he broke his thumb in that game. He looked awful against the Jets because he was, you know, 1 week removed from that broken thumb, and then progressively started to get better. He was throwing the ball better against Washington. The team success wasn't so great. The offense kind of struggled after that Amari Rodgers fumble on special teams. So for some reason, that this offense lets anything that happens in the game just derail them. It doesn't even have to be something that happens on offense. But you know, he's progressively getting better, but then seems like re-aggravated the injury, and it seems like also dealing with some other injuries too, rib injuries and some things like that. Rodgers had to leave the game, and Jordan Love came in, actually threw a touchdown. We can, you know, in what, like half a quarter, he had almost as many passing yards as Aaron Rodgers did through more over three quarters. So, I don't know. Do we want to talk about Jordan Love? I guess, you know, considering how late we are in the season and Rodgers' injuries. And I mean, I know that something we talked about before, I guess I'll ask you this question too, before we get to Jordan Love, is, have we seen the end of Aaron Rodgers, both in Green Bay and in the NFL? Was this his final game, and this way going down against the Eagles?
Yes, I think it's his last game this year. Yes, I think it's probably his last game with the Packers. No, I don't think he retires. He's not going to leave almost $60 million on the table. I do not see that happening. But this might have been the last game for Rodgers as a Packer. I really feel that. I know you're a lot harder on Jordan Love, but he was a breath of fresh air. He made some throws and that ball was live. There's never been a doubt of his arm talent. It's just everything else and him being confident and leading an offense. And he was poised. Of course, it's a small sample size. I'm not going to act like he's the second coming, or, well, I guess the third coming for Green Bay. But I liked what I saw. With Rodgers getting hurt, there's no way he's playing anymore this year. He's done. There's no reason to play him. It's time to show what Jordan Love has. And, you know, endings are never good, right? Like, breakups in the Aaron Rodgers era, we knew it's not going to end well unless they won a Super Bowl, and that's not happening this year. It might be time. It might be time to try to make a move. I know trading, we can get all of this in the offseason. It might be tough to do. There's a lot of guaranteed money, but there's ways around it. Dates matter. After June 1st matters. But I think it might be the passing of the guard. I really do.
Yeah, perhaps the Jordan Love era beginning. The Jordan era, that's a basketball thing. I don't know. Maybe this was the end of the Packers Jordan era, in a sense. Aaron Rodgers and his brilliance. You could almost argue this is the forthcoming, because let's give Bart Starr some respect too. But in terms of the transition to go straight from Favre to Rodgers to hopefully a Hall of Fame quarterback in Jordan Love. I mean, made some plays. He had the 36-yard touchdown to Christian Watson. Now, similar to his, 81-yard touchdown to Jashai Ojulari last year, the ball traveled 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, 8 yards past the line of scrimmage. And so you mentioned the arm talent. We know he's got the arm strength to put the ball anywhere. I think what comes into question is the accuracy, throwing deep and throwing even intermittently. I think what we've seen at the NFL level is he can throw short really accurately, and the case for that Watson touchdown was throw on time, and that's important, and that's the part. And I think what we saw in small sample size with Jordan Love is he actually handles the blitz well because he throws so well short. So, you know, you build your game out. So like he's got the short game set. Now it's just getting that downfield accuracy, because really the only game I can remember where he's really thrown it deep with accuracy was the Saints game, which I don't know. I know we don't want to talk about, but week one last year. And I mean, he was playing against shell prevent defense because they had a 30-point lead. So I still need to see Love complete the ball accurately at all levels of the field when in close games, when the defense is really playing him then. So, some great plays and kept that game afloat to where that could have gone south against such a great Eagles team, and kind of kept the Packers afloat. So emotionally, it also shows that maybe Rodgers isn't the emotional center of this team, in that, I mean, I think he could still be the emotional leader, but his absence on the field won't necessarily psychologically affect this team more than it seems like you're saying. They're just destroying it, and that's not even really a Rodgers thing. If we're really saying it's this team's not playing well together, that's all on coaching. Like, Rodgers can only do so much, especially on defense. He can't really do anything. So if this team, this seems like the negative emotions from this team come more from how this coaching staff is treating them. Not even like that they're treating them negatively, but they're not working the details enough. They're leaving them out. There's too much that the details are missed with the coaching staff to where the players are kind of just freelancing it and there's no connection unity. That seems like that's taking a much bigger emotional toll than Rodgers, or in this case, Rodgers' absence. So that's at least a good sign, I suppose, right?
Yeah, and I think chemistry really matters. First of all, the best throw that Jordan Love had this game, which showed some awesome accuracy, was the one that Aaron Jones dropped. That was a dime. That was a quality NFL throw. Of course, you got to do it more than once, but it was impressive because that thing was a bullet and it was a tough throw to make. And he hit that back shoulder perfect on it. So that was impressive. It'll be nice to see some game planning for him to actually, hey, you know, you have what's left, 5 games. Let's go to work and just see what the kid has. So I'm big on that. And to your point too, with the chemistry, it's not all on Aaron Rodgers, but at the same time, this is a young team. I'm sure they got sick of, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up in the preseason, then he's yelling at everybody and flipping out. They get sick of that too. So here's somebody that's a little bit more in their age group. It's a chemistry thing, right? And that's not all Aaron Rodgers' fault. Like, I'm older than Aaron Rodgers, so, you know, I get it. But, you know, I think this team can click and build on something with someone that's their age, that's been practicing with him, that worked with him running scout stuff. It's time. Now, is it going to be better than what Aaron Rodgers is? That's going to probably not, to be honest with that. But a team that believes in what they're doing and is clicking, look at the Eagles, look at teams like that, and buying into what's being sold. And again, like you said, coaching, it plays a big part in it, where if they're not buying into it, but it was kind of a breath of fresh air. Seeing last night, late in that game, this team still fight when it could have been ugly, and they fought. And I think they rallied around Jordan Love coming in. So there was, even though it's a loss, and yes, we know there's no playoffs this year, there were some things to take away from it and hopefully build on for the future.
Well, I think good point about just that, like, of, you know, he could at least give the team confidence that he can lead the offense and that it's not going to completely derail. I wanted to make another point. Now I can't remember. You're right. Maybe I am too harsh on Jordan Love, and maybe that does just come from draft day and, you know, all the players they could have had in that spot. And frankly, just what we just saw, knowing that if they had taken a receiver in the second round, they probably could have had Jalen Hurts they could have had Jalen Hurts as well. Like, T. Higgins and Jalen Hurts would look amazing on the Packers right now, and said they've got only Jordan Love. So, Josiah DeGuara and A.J. Dillon. They've got those guys at least. And A.J. Dillon kind of came back and had a good game after he's been really disappointing this year. But yeah, maybe I am a little harsh on Jordan Love, but it looks like Jordan Love era begins now.
It could very well be, at least I think for the rest of this year, because there is absolutely no reason. Well, first of all, if it's an oblique injury or broken ribs or whatever they're saying, I guess I will make one other point. If Aaron Rodgers broke his dang thumb back when you could have gave him 2 weeks off to heal up and they didn't do that, wow, was that mismanagement all around. Come back from London. If it's broke, let him sit. You don't let him make that decision, first of all. You sit him for a week or two, and you salvage your season. And it all unraveled, and I think that is an epic fail.
Well, without knowing how bad he – like, before the Jets game, knowing how bad he played in the Jets game, it's really easy to say that hindsight. But until you know how bad it's broken, like, I can't blame them for saying, okay, a slightly broken thumb Aaron Rodgers is still better than Jordan Love. Like, I haven't seen enough from Jordan Love to say that that's not true. So I can't necessarily blame the coaching staff, because salvage your season. Like, if you're going to Love, it was early enough in the season that maybe you can stomach it, okay, a couple weeks, but also knowing that tough stretch was coming, like, at that point, like, I don't think Jordan Love is the best option to win games. And maybe it was. Maybe, again, Rodgers looked awful against the Jets. Maybe actually Love would have been better for that game. I think by the time the Washington game came around, he looked better enough that would have still been the better option. So maybe they should have just given him a week off. The one thing, though, it didn't seem like him playing through it aggravated it. It was really a hit he took in this game aggravated it. So I'm kind of okay with it, them handling it the way they have. Because, again, I haven't seen enough from Jordan Love, but the truth is, for Jordan Love to improve, he needs to do it on the field. So to your credit, Jesse, at this point, give him the rest of the season. Let him prove you wrong, almost. Like, if he, okay, this guy really can't handle the NFL, but I think we've seen enough to, it's not that he doesn't belong, but if I were to rank who's the best quarterback of all the quarterbacks likely to start this week, is Jordan Love better than the 29th quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
All right. Well, maybe I'm, and that's, again, maybe that's me being too harsh on Jordan Love, because I think he does need to improve. But again, the only way he's going to do it at this point is on the field. The only way he's going to get better at with his intermediate and deep accuracy is by playing and throwing more. So give him the rest of the season to kind of show what he can do.
And there's some bad quarterbacks in the league, so that's why I say yes, because there's some really bad quarterback play. But to that, too, even, you know, am I saying, you know, Rodgers was probably still the better option. But with these medical staffs, even taking a loss there, going in with Jordan Love against the Jets, who, yes, they had a good record at the time, but it's a non-division team in a NFC that was really close. Even chalk it up as a loss, and you get to rest up Rodgers for the rest of the year. I thought it was foolish. And again, I think it's Matt LaFleur. I think he's just bows down to Aaron Rodgers, and he's afraid to do anything. And I really feel that way, that, you know, and of course Aaron Rodgers is going to say he can play if, you know, he'd have his hand cut off and still try to play. I think he's that tough, but that's just a coach not taking control. And hopefully going forward, Matt LaFleur, if he goes with Jordan Love, can feel more comfortable doing his thing. Cause right now I think he's a lot of talk, and I think he's got some stuff to prove going forward, for me at least.
Well, we did talk a lot. So I think it's some good topics to discuss, whether it's just the Eagles game or the fallout and all this quarterback situation. If you want to make your voice heard, do you think I'm being too harsh on Jordan Love? Do you think Jesse's right? Let us know on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. You can also follow your co-host individually. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @CenterSays. As always, I want to encourage people to download the Full Press Coverage app, which is available for free on Android and iOS stores. The Full Press Coverage app gives you access to all the great Full Press Coverage content, articles, podcasts, the Full Press Radio Network, everything available in one convenient place. Again, download for free today the Full Press Coverage app. Also, want to shout out PA the Second on Twitter @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music. Also want to just get shout out to him. 4 days ago, released a new single called Bad Boy Outside, BBO. So check out all of PA the Second social accounts for everything there. And wherever you download music, check out the new song, Bad Boy Outside. Is this an outdoor game in Chicago coming up? Green Bay and the Bears. No, we were thinking Jordan Love versus, or sorry, we were thinking Justin Fields versus Aaron Rodgers. Now we might get Jordan Love versus Trevor Siemian. So great quarterback battles, classic.
Yeah, it is what it is. But through good or bad, it's go Pack go, and it is Bear Week. Curb our enthusiasm and look for different things, but let's go get it done.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be greatly looking forward to this upcoming game, and we'll talk about it next time on the Full Press Packers Pod. They crazy for your body.